Well, this evening we come to the end of our sermon series entitled When God's People Pray. And this evening we're in Revelation chapter 21 with a title of Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done, which of course comes from the Lord's Prayer. And it's a fitting end to this series because what is revealed in Revelation chapter 21 is that one day God's kingdom will fully come. And one day his will be fully done. All our prayers for God's justice, for his love and presence to rule in this world, will be answered. Look at verse 1 from Revelation chapter 21. When I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there were no longer any sea. Now, it's very important to understand the context of this chapter. Revelation was given to John for Christians who were suffering terribly. Christians were dying. There was widespread aggressive persecution, and they had lost nearly everything this world had to offer them. And the immense power of the Roman Empire seemed to loom large everywhere. They seemed to rule everything, including history. Indeed, they were making history. And so to these Christians under extreme pressure, praying your kingdom come may have seemed rather pathetic in the face of this awesome power of the Roman Empire, such overwhelming human power and such a massive display of evil and power against the church. And so this revelation draws back the curtain on reality. It shows who really rules history. And it would have come as an enormous encouragement to Christians who are struggling, who are longing for the next world. This revelation shows that it's God who's sovereign over history. And what chapter 21 thunders out to these struggling Christians under pressure is that there is a finishing line. There will come a day when it'll all be over and they'll fully be in God's presence. A few years ago, I was preaching in a service in a small church in rural Ukraine, a very poor area, and it also had a very low adult life expectancy. And during the service, we had a time of prayer. And it was a prayer time like I'd never witnessed before, because there's a group of women there who, when they prayed, wept. Not in a showy, over-emotional way, but in a very moving and genuine demonstration of concern. And at the time, I didn't know what the concern was for. Well, after service, I asked the pastor what the women were weeping about. And he said they were weeping for their husbands who weren't Christians. And also, they were longing for heaven, crying out to God for heaven. They were longing for heaven. The extraordinary thing was, that was just a few weeks after I'd been asked by somebody back in this country about heaven, because they were worried they may not enjoy it. I think this person wanted reassurance that there'd be some kind of cosmic intergalactic pleasure park for themselves, for their own personal enjoyment. What a contrast! These women weeping and longing for heaven, and this other person worried about whether they might not enjoy it, because compared to this life, which they're rather in love with, they weren't too sure about heaven at all. Well, what a contrast. Revelation 21 is an encouragement to Christians, longing for the finishing line, longing for heaven, but it is also a rebuke to any self-centeredness and decadence that loves this world. Revelation does not pander to our self-centered worries about our own personal entertainment in heaven one day. Those are the concerns of a decadent culture. When you're suffering and struggling, all you want is that finishing line to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this passage is an encouragement to hard-pressed, battle-weary Christians who long for the next world. And there are four particular encouragements about this finishing line. And the first is this: there will be transformation. There will be transformation. Look at verse 1 again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now the Greek word there for the word new has the meaning of fresh. In fact, the word has the same meaning that comes from the Hebrew root for the moon. So just as the moon is renewed each month, we have what we call the new moon, so the earth and the heavens will be renewed. It will be the earth without the evil, without the sin, without the rebellion and selfishness and cruelty that has ruined this earth. And it's significant in verse 1, do you notice that? That there will no longer any sea. Just see that in verse 1. No longer any sea. You see, the sea in the Bible is used as a symbol of chaos and the spiritual cosmic forces ranged against God. So in this renewed earth and heaven, there'll no longer be any place for evil, no center of rebellion against God. No center for that rebellion. That's the renewal. What is revealed to John here is that the new heaven and the new earth will have a real continuity with this present world, in the sense that there's going to be an earth and a heaven. But everything that causes evil and rebellion, the effect of sin, will be removed. Everything that spoils this wonderful creation will be taken off and removed. It'll be renewed. Renewed. And look at verse 4. I think that helps. Look at the last phrase of verse 4. It talks about the old order of things that has passed away. That's what's going to pass away. So we talk about the new earth. The old order's passed away. So it's a new earth recreated. And look at verse 5. He who's seated on the throne said, I am making everything new, making everything fresh, making everything renewed. Dear friends, this is wonderful transformation. There's so much we don't know. Of course there is. In fact, most about it we don't know. But this is, we know enough to encourage us. Everything that causes us heartache, the pain, the fears, the frustration, it'll all be gone. All be gone. What's it going to look like? Well, we don't exactly know. But it's going to be fabulous that we do know. We're not going to get and see the new creation and say, oh yeah, just I thought, yeah, lovely, yeah. No, there's going to be a real wow factor. What you might call a jaw-dropping wow factor. And I think many of us are going to say, if only I had known. If only I had known it was going to be this fantastic, well, I wouldn't have been so anxious. I'd have been more longing for it. Don't be one of those people. No, it's going to be fabulous. Yes, you see, God at every point in his salvation plan has always surprised us. Even though the prophets have foretold every step, there's always been this wow factor. You know, Bethlehem, Jesus born as a baby, you know, prophesied in the Old Testament. But when it comes to it, the wow factor, it is just amazing. The Son of God who comes as a baby. The cross, of course that was foretold. But when it comes to it, it is just staggering that we see God hanging there in our stead. The resurrection, foretold. But when it comes to it, breathtaking that death is defeated when we see the words in the gospel. And so too, dear friends, at the renewed creation, we see these words here or foretold, but when it comes to it, it will be absolutely breathtaking. It'll be wonderful. We will be staggered. So to Christians under pressure, suffering, longing for a new world, the Lord says, there is a finishing line. There will be transformation. I'm going to renew the earth and the heavens. Yes. So we can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. confidently, because one day it will fully come. So there will be transformation. Secondly, there will be community. Look at verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Now, there's a very important point here. We're not doing a series in Revelation, but earlier in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, which we looked at part of that last week, in Revelation 4 and 5, the curtain is drawn back to reveal something about the life of heaven, something of the life of heaven now. And it's a very active, thrilling place with extraordinary worship and heavenly beings. And it's from here that the New Jerusalem comes down. It's as if the very life and reality of heaven spills over down to the renewed earth. Now look, we don't want to press these verses too much into some kind of exact heavenly geography. But the important point is that this reality, this renewed life, is already going on. It's being prepared by God already. And the New Jerusalem, this city, will one day come down to renewed earth. It's wonderful, this picture of this city, beautifully prepared by God, filling the renewed earth. And there's some wonderful contrasts here when you think back to the beginning of the Bible. I mean, the Bible begins in a garden, but it ends in a city. The fall of man is about the breakdown of relationships between man and God and man. And the New Jerusalem is about renewed relationships and community healed through the Lord Jesus Christ. So much of our world is about fragmentation and broken relationships. It's so painful. And that's what's so wonderful about the renewed earth. What has been spoilt, what has been ruined, is redeemed and transformed by God. There'll be people here who have been damaged through relationships. Well, the renewed earth is going to be full of transformed, redeemed relationships. Don't you long for that? So much of our city life is characterized by fragmentation, loneliness, and ugliness. We see it all around. It's the very expression of our alienation from God. But look at verse 2 again. Look what the New Jerusalem looks like, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. This new city is characterized by beauty, and it's described in terms of the closest relationships human beings can have. It's a gift, a beautiful gift from God for his people, to God's church, this wonderful city. So you see, to these Christians, ravaged by persecution, devastated by seeing loved ones killed, with no home to call their own, this chapter reveals there is a finishing line, where there is a home prepared for them, a place where there'll be renewed relationships, a place of security, a community, a beautiful place to be. Your kingdom come, your will be done. They can pray that confidently, because one day it'll be a reality. So this finishing line that they long for is characterized by transformation, community, and thirdly, characterized by intimacy. Look at verses 3 and 4. They're wonderful, wonderful verses. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from a throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Wonderful intimacy. No longer will God seem remote and far off, because there are times, we must admit that, there are times when he can feel in this world sometimes far away. He can be, he feels like that. Through his Holy Spirit he's not, but our perception is he can feel like that. And especially when the forces of evil appear to be so powerful and so pressing. My godmother exploded into faith at the age of 72. Wonderful. And then about a year later, she became very seriously ill. She was in hospital for about 5 months. Went to visit her. And she said to me, "Rupert, why does God seem so far away? He was so real to me before. But now he seems miles away. Has he abandoned me?" And I could say, no, he hasn't. Your suffering and your pain, it makes it feel like he has. But there will be a day when there will be no more pain, no more suffering. And there are moments where we have to live with that. And it can be very difficult. There are moments when we cry out, "Where is the Lord? Where is he?" And we sometimes ask that with tears. But there will come a time when that question will never be asked again. There will come a time there will no longer be any ambiguity. Look at that again. "Now the dwelling of God," verse 3, "is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That's truly marvellous. But you know, there's more. I mean, look at verse 4. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I picture those women in Ukraine one day having the Lord God himself wipe every tear from their face himself. This is so moving. Verse 4 pictures the Lord taking care of every individual tear shed by his people, because the word tear there is in the singular. Tears of anguish, of pain, of disappointment, of heartache. For some Christians, this life serves up a very painful and difficult life, where there can be many tears shed. Literal tears, and of course internal tears as well. The Lord knows every single one you've shed. They don't go unnoticed. Maybe your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ has meant that you haven't had the life you thought or even hoped you might have done. Maybe it's taken a different course because of the stand you take for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in terms of relationships or job, where you live, what you sacrifice for, what you give. Maybe that's the case for you. Maybe there have been moments, secret moments, when you've wept and wept. There will be a day when the Lord Jesus Christ himself will heal those tears, and you will be totally renewed. He will wipe them from your face. That's wonderfully intimate. He will do the wiping away of your tears. Maybe you're terribly hurt. Maybe you're damaged by things that have happened, and you try to remain godly in that. And you weep as you try to do that through the power of the Spirit. Those tears do not go unnoticed. And one day, he will wipe them from your cheek. And we do have to notice that there are some tears and pain that won't get wiped away until the very end. What Revelation does not say is that every tear is wiped away here and now before the new creation. No. Because of the very nature of the fallen world that we do live in and that we have, the very nature of the pain means that our pain, most of our pain, won't end until the new creation. That's why we long for it. That's why we long for that day when there will be the finishing line. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I just want God to change that one thing about me. I wish he would. It may not happen until that final day. And you have to remain godly in what you have now until that day. That's why we long for that day so much, because we will be renewed. One day, everything that makes us weep about ourselves and our world will be renewed. Look at verse 4 again, that last phrase, that wonderful thing. The old order of things has passed away. Death, mourning, crying and pain, the effects of sin will be removed. Perhaps for us who live in the richer West, we need to ask ourselves whether we shed enough tears. Whether in fact, and this is the challenge here for Christians living in a culture like ours, whether in fact there are times we love this world so much, a bit too much, and long too little for the new creation. You see, for many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, this life can be so very wretched. And when we find laughter and comfort, they only have tears and suffering. There are good tears to shed sometimes. And maybe, just maybe, the church in the West needs to shed more of them. This finishing line is characterized by great intimacy. To these suffering Christians, longing for the new creation, with tears in their eyes, the Lord says to them, there is a place where your tears and pain will be removed by me. By me. So this finishing line is characterized by transformation, community, intimacy, and fourthly, exclusion. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he'll be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And of course, that list of people, it's about unrepentant people. It's about people who live that way. There'll be many of us in heaven who've repented from some of those things and who've been renewed by following the Lord Jesus Christ. But look, this is important because there is no chance of a further fall or rebellion. This new creation is characterized by those who've been redeemed by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this would have been an enormous relief to those who first read Revelation. The very things that cause their pain, the very things that cause their world and our world to be ruined and hurtful, will be excluded. And those who choose those things as a way of life will be excluded too. The very things that cause tears and pain will be gone and excluded. Everything in the new creation will only be there. Every person will only be there because they've been renewed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a tremendous comfort to those who are suffering. They're secure and safe with the Lord. Transformation, community, intimacy, exclusion. Four characteristics of the finishing line that awaits us all one day. And the wonderful truth, dear friends, is that there is a finishing line. One day, your kingdom come, your will be done, will be fully answered. So let's keep praying it. Let's not give up praying it. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing for the Lord Jesus Christ, this chapter has been given to you as an encouragement to keep going. to keep going, and as a challenge to those of us who know they're too comfortable. We need to long for that day when the earth and the heavens are renewed. Keep longing for that day. Keep praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Keep longing, and then until that day, keep serving Jesus faithfully and wholeheartedly, knowing this is for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can scarcely believe what you have prepared for us one day. Our hearts rejoice. Father, may you continue to fill our hearts and minds with expectancy, with a real sense of joy of what you have for us, and a determination to serve you faithfully now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.